tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Hey, hey, hey! How we doing? Next Level Church, what's up? We feeling good today? Y'all a little warm? Me too. It's going to be all right. See, everyone's fanning, so I don't know if it's good preaching. I don't know if y'all are like, oh, Lord. Or if y'all are just hot. So I'm going to assume it's good preaching. So thank you for the encouragement already. I appreciate that. That is awesome. My name is Thomas Lane. Most of y'all who know me would call me T. Lane. It's an honor to be here today. I'm a church planter. We are planting Ascent Church in Virginia Beach. We launched September 10th. Yeah. This is some of my launch team, some of the squad. How we doing, squad? You're excited? That's good. I'm really excited to be here today. I was so excited I wore my Paisley shirt. And Rob must have known because he made this little modeling walkway for me. I feel good about this. I almost wore my tennis shoes, but then I couldn't stomp. So I'm really excited. Is this safe? No, somebody said no. All right, I probably shouldn't do that. I'm not going to do that again. Before we jump in, I just want to show some love and honor to your lead pastor, Rob Shepherd. I don't see him, but we can clap for him anyway. Rob is a great communicator, and he was sitting right here last service, and it's a little tough when you have a good communicator just staring at you. So I love Rob to death, but I'm a little more at ease. Is he in the room? No, okay. Oh, he is. He's right there. He's staring at me. He's right there. Well, Rob, buddy, I just wanted to say, just so everyone knows, Rob is an incredible guy. If you're new around here, you're going to absolutely love him. You have a phenomenal lead pastor. You really, really do. Yes. Back in the fall, October-ish, we started to plant our church, meaning we started to build a team, raise funds, kind of put things together, and we didn't know what the heck we were doing. We don't know what we're doing now. We especially didn't know back then. But we had maybe 12 people on the team, maybe 15. We didn't have any money. We didn't know what we were doing. Rob just went above and beyond with sitting down with me for lunch or coffee, answering my questions, encouraging me, believing in us, praying for us. That just means the absolute world to us, buddy. Right now, I didn't mention this, Next Level Church in December invested financially in our church to help us launch, to help us have a successful launch. So back then we had very, very little. I'm pleased to announce our team has grown to over 100 people, and we are going to, yes, God is so good, and we are going to reach our goal, our launch budget by launch. So Rob, you've been a huge part of that, man. Just thank you above all else for the encouragement and for the love and the opportunity to speak here today. I'm really, really glad. It's been a really fun morning, and very excited for y'all. Very excited for y'all. So the series that we're in is this. I don't have all the answers, but one thing I know is that today we're speaking about how God is in control. God is in control. I told my lovely wife, Helen, what I was speaking on today, and she said, "Honey, don't bite off more than you can chew," which is wife talk for why would you choose that topic? Why, you can choose anything you want, and you're choosing the hardest, maybe one of the hardest topics possible. I don't know what I was thinking, but we're going for it. We're going for it today, and we'll see what happens. Now, I don't want to be too abrasive. I don't want to be too harsh, but I know a lot of us worry about things. We have anxiety. We worry. We maybe stay up late at night about things. Things bother us. So I'm going to ask, is anyone here in the last week worried about something? If it's relationships, your kids, politics, money, work. Okay, we all have that in common. Each and every one of us. So we're all on the same page there. I know why we worry. And maybe this is going to be a little abrasive or a little harsh, but the reason we worry is because we think we're in control. We think it's on us. And because we think it's on us, the weight of the world is on our shoulders. So we stress out and we don't sleep and we just, our stomach hurts because we feel like everything in our lives all falls to us. You see, there's a lot about God's sovereignty. And he is sovereign, and there's a lot about his control that we just fully don't understand. And I don't think we ever will. But just because we won't fully understand it doesn't mean we can't apply it to our lives. Doesn't mean we can't talk about it. For example, who's got one of these bad boys? Anyone have a smartphone? Anyone have a dumb phone? Anyone have an old school? Somewhat you do. Sir, do you have it with you? Could you hold it up for us and just let us see it? I just want to see it. Does it have buttons? It flips! Yay! It flips! And wham! Shabam! It flips. Well, if you have a smartphone, or if you have a dumb phone. I'm not going to look at them. If you have a dumb phone, the reality is you don't know how that thing works. Especially if it's a smartphone. You don't know how FaceTime works, or how Bluetooth, or I don't know, your Qualcomm processor and the LCD screen. You have no idea how it works, but you use it each and every single day. And that's kind of how God's will is. It's something we know a little bit about. We don't fully understand it, but it doesn't matter. We can still apply it and use it in our lives. Two nights ago, there was a bad storm in Virginia Beach. I don't know if y'all had it here, but it came through maybe 3 or 4 in the middle of the night. It was rough. It was pretty bad. A lot of thunder, like shaking the house thunder. Lightning, just lightning after lightning bolt after lightning bolt. It was crazy. And it woke me and my wife up. It woke our son up. He's between 1.5 and 2. He's a little dude. And it just woke him up, and he was crying, asking for daddy. So I went into his room, and I picked him up, and I rocked him back to sleep. But if you have kids, you know when they're not really asleep. You know what I'm saying? You know when they're just laying there, but they're really not asleep. So I laid him down, and I knew he wasn't actually asleep. So I kind of stepped away, and I knew he was just laying there. And about every minute or so, he would say, "Daddy." And I'd say, "Yeah, buddy, I'm still here. It's okay." So eventually, I just laid down on the floor. And I'm just waiting, and lightning would crash, and lightning would strike, thunder would crash, and the house would shake. And he would say, "Daddy, Daddy." And I'd say, "Hey, buddy. I'm right here. Everything's okay." Now, that is a picture of what is going on in a lot of your lives right now. There's a storm in your life, and you're not concerned about the presence of your actual father. You're concerned about the presence of your spiritual father. There's a storm going on. It could be in your relationships. It could be financially. It could be, I don't know what it is, but something's going on in your life, and you're like, "God, are you actually there? God, are you within reach? God, if I call you, will you answer?" Each and every one of us has either faced a storm like this or is facing it right now. And I'm so glad that happened, because it was such an accurate picture today. But Paul gives us something. Paul gives us something in Scripture that we can use every single day. And it will absolutely change our lives if we use it. It is a peace, it is an assurance, and it is found in the Scripture. Now, if you don't fully understand this, it's okay. Just go with it. I'll do my best to explain little bits and pieces as we go along. Turn with me, or look up to the screen, up to Romans 8:28. I'm going to read bits and pieces. Now, this is like highlight reel Scripture. This is like some of the best of the best. This is some of the most powerful Scripture you will find in the entire Bible. It is such a punch in the gut, in a good way. Follow along with me. This is what Paul says. He says, "We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified." Some things with God are so certain, we can speak of them in the past tense, even if they haven't happened yet. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold His own Son, but gave Him up for all of us, will He not with Him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? No. Say that with me. Say no. Yeah. Now say it from deep in here. Say no. Yeah. I love that in Scripture. He says no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And here Paul gets fired up. He says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray real quick. Bow your head. Sermon's not over, but let's pray real quick. Father God, I just thank You for these powerful words, God, that You wrote right for us in this room today. God, this love letter, God, may it pierce our hearts. May it encourage us. May it inspire us. God, we ask you to do whatever you need to do here in this place. God, if someone needs encouragement, may they be encouraged. If someone needs, I don't know, to change the way they're thinking or to get out of something, some thought that they keep just kind of going over and over, God, may that happen today. Whatever your will is, Father, may it be done here in this place today. We love you. In your son's name, amen. So let me do my best to sum up the scripture because it's a little confusing. This is what Paul is saying. Here's his point. He's saying if you're in Christ, if Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior, not one thing that you can do can bring you back into condemnation. It's an absolute certainty that God is in control of your life and loves you, and nothing can ever change that. Y'all, there's a joy to be had in this life. And if you have that joy, you can face anything without shaking or without crumbling. What is it? It's an absolute certainty that not only does God love you now, but he will always love you, no matter what. No matter what. And some of y'all believe that. Some of y'all do not believe that right now. Or we think we believe it, but we don't live as if we believe that. There's two main things that make us question if God is still in our life. That make us say, Daddy, are you still there? Have you left? Are you on the way out? Where are you? There's two things. Things inside us, things outside us. Here's what I mean. When I say things inside us, I mean you have things that you are capable of that you don't even know about yet. Thoughts, actions, maybe responses to things, and you will do them, you will think them, and you'll think, God, where did that come from? Like, was that me? Like, I'm supposed to be a Christian. Where did that come from? And you'll think, there's no way a good God could love someone like me who does X, Y, and Z, or who thinks this or that. That's things inside you. Bad stuff inside us makes us think that God doesn't really love us. And not only that, but things outside you. Anyone ever heard of Chance the Rapper? Everyone's just giggling. Is that a yes? I guess it is. Maybe so. Chance the Rapper has a song out. I don't even know the name of the song, but I see this quote all the time on Facebook and Instagram, and here's what Chance says. I don't know if Chance is a rapper or not, but this is what Chance the Rapper always says. He says, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. When the praises go up, the blessings come down. And I think Chance is dead wrong. Sorry, Chance. I'm sure you're a nice dude, but you might check your theology a bit. But his idea is one that a lot of us have, and it's that if I praise God, if I'm good, if I give to church, if I invite people, if I'm a nice person, then God has to be good back to me. He has to. He has to. If I love him and I serve him and I do X, Y, and Z, I'm at church today, something good better happen on the way home. Better find a lottery ticket or get a date or something better happen on the way home because I'm at church today. It's funny, the last time our launch team was here, one of our team members got her car wouldn't start on the way out. Okay? It's not that she did anything wrong. That's just life. That's how it happens. Chance the Rapper is not right. I'm going to reread that list that Paul said. Paul, he doesn't say if these bad things happen to you. He kind of says when they happen to you. This is what Paul's talking about. This is what he went through. Hardship, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. Yes, I said naked. Somebody say naked. Naked. It's fun to say. It's really, I love Next Level Church. I can just say naked and make everyone say naked, and it's just normal. No one's like, how dare you. It's just like, whatever, it's cool. That one stood out to me. But Paul, let me start here. Paul's implying something. He's not saying if bad things happen. He's like, if you're in Christ, bad things are going to happen. But God still loves you. He didn't go anywhere. He's not doing anything. The nakedness one stuck out to me. Now, my son loves being naked. He gets out of the tub and he runs around the house. He says, naked baby, and he just does laps. He loves being naked, but Paul was not a streaker. Paul did not run through the quad into the gymnasium. Paul was not a streaker. What he's saying, he's describing a spiritual condition that a lot of us feel. When you feel naked, you feel vulnerable. You feel alone. You feel like anything can just destroy you and wreck you. And it's not a good feeling. And I don't know if he was literally naked or if he's talking about that spiritually. But either way, a lot of us have either been there or are there right now. The point is this. If you're in Christ, not one thing you can do today can bring you back into condemnation. It's all covered. It's all paid for. God loves you no matter what. And he loves you no matter how much bad stuff is going on inside you and how much bad stuff is going on outside.
inside you.
So what's that mean? Taking together, as a whole, looked at from the long term, zoomed out, God is working everything together for our good and for His glory. Once again, taken from the long term, big picture, zooming out, at the end of the day, when all is said and done, God is working everything together for His good, for our good, and for His glory. There's a lot of biblical examples of this. I love this thing, by the way. It's so much fun. There's a lot of biblical examples of this. And the one I want to highlight today is about this place called Dothan. Can somebody say Dothan? Dothan. Dothan was a spot in the Old Testament. It was this little town. And in Dothan, there's this guy named Joseph. Joseph wasn't Dothan. And Joseph had some older brothers who were jerks. They didn't like him too much because Joseph was the favorite. And Joseph's older brothers put him in a pit in Dothan. And they were going to kill him. But they say, you know what? Let's make a buck. Let's just sell him into slavery. No big deal. So in Dothan, this is all going down. And Joseph cried out to God. He said, God, save me. Deliver me. Because he knew he had years and decades ahead of misery and torment. What did God do? Nothing. Silence. And Joseph was hauled off into slavery. Now, something else happened in Dothan. Centuries later, there was a prophet. And the prophet was named Elisha. And by this time, Elisha is in the city of Dothan. It's grown. It's a bigger city. And a foreign army comes in and is surrounding the city of Dothan. And they're going to kill everyone in the city. And Elisha cries out to God and says, God, save us, deliver us. And this time, chariots of fire come down from heaven and wipe out the invading army. Both in Dothan. Somebody say Dothan. I don't know what Dothan means. Don't ask me. There's nothing spiritual to that. I really don't know what it means. But the point is this. God is just as active in the silence as he is in the loud, flashy, miraculous responses that he gave to Elisha. If you know the story of Joseph, here's what happened to Joseph's life. God was silent. But because he went into slavery, he eventually rose to a position of prominence in Egypt. He stored up a bunch of grain, and Joseph prevented hundreds of thousands of people from dying from a famine. Not only did he save hundreds of thousands alive, but he prevented his own family from destroying themselves because of their own sin. Look it up. It's an amazing story. But God is just as active in the loud, flashy miracles as he is in the silence, and you've got to understand that. Some of y'all are in the midst of a miracle, and you're riding high, and you're loving it. Some of you are begging. You're crying out to God, and there's silence. Don't for a second think he's not hearing you. Don't for a second think he's abandoned you or that he's betrayed you. He's with you. Paul says this. Paul says, that's always the case. It's always the case. No matter what's going on inside you or what's going on outside you, God is moving and God is working. But you see, we have a beef with this. We talk about predestination and election, and we are Americans. Somebody say America. America. We are independent. We are free. Nobody tells me what to do. I'm an American. I get to decide what I do, how my life is going to look like. It's all on me. So when we hear about election and predestination, it kind of rubs us the wrong way. We say, I'm not a robot. You can't control me. I'm not programmed. Was that the worst robot you've ever seen? Can anyone do a better robot? Zach, can you do a robot? Can you just try it? Just try it. What do you got? You don't have to come up. You just do it right there. Yeah, everyone's looking. Yeah, what you got? Come on. Okay. There you go. He's bowing. It's a lot better than mine. If mine was a 1.5, yours was at least a 3. And that's being gracious. The point is this. We are not robots. We're not programmed. We don't like to hear that. So what exactly is going on? Here's what the scripture says. This is a summary of someone by the name of Tim Keller. He's a doctor. He's a genius. He knows a lot more about this than I do. This is what he says. But the reality is this. Somehow we have free will. We make our own decisions. But somehow also God is in control. It's not either or. It's both and. This is what Tim Keller says. He says, you are free. And you are responsible. And your choices matter. And you are responsible for your choices. And no one is forcing you to make those choices. And yet, every single thing that happens as a result of those choices is working out exactly according to the plan of God. People always say, well, yeah, God is all-knowing and he just knows what's going to happen. No. It's more than that. And it's not just that God foresees what you're going to do, but rather what you do fits in with the plan that he wants and the course that he wants history to take. So that blows my mind. I don't know about you, that blows my mind. I don't know how that works, but there's a ton of scripture that supports that idea. Let's hit up Proverbs 16:1. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. The plans are mine, but however I answer comes from God. That's interesting. What about Proverbs 16:9 later in that chapter? The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. It's like this, and it's confusing. To you belong the plans of your heart, but what you do as a result of those plans always comes from God. To you belong your plans, but when you speak or actually act, it always fits in with God's plan, always. Now that's astounding, and we don't fully understand it. On the one hand, your choices belong to you. You're not being coerced. They're yours. And you can't say, I couldn't help it. You are free. You are responsible. And yet the result is always what God wants. Well, how could God do that? How could he give us free will and be in control of everything? Well, I don't know how he could do that, okay? And I'm not pretending that I can explain it to you right now. Something in Scripture says that as the heavens and the earth are, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's thoughts to our thoughts and his ways to our ways. We're a little underqualified for the job of God, but that doesn't mean that he couldn't make that happen. But do y'all know what peace this produces? Don't let this stress you out. Don't hear this and say, well, I don't understand. I don't like that idea. No. Don't miss what God's giving us, the gift he's giving us. Do you know how much peace that produces? That it's not all on you. That you don't have to have all the answers. That he is in control at the end of the day. Do you know how much peace that gives you? When we set out to plant a church, if we for a second thought that it was all on us, we would have crashed and burned already. It's not. Yes, we have to work hard. Yes, we have to do our thing. But at the end of the day, it's all on God. There is an old hymn. You maybe have heard of it, you maybe haven't, but there's this old line in this hymn. It's my favorite line. It says this. It says, what heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when strivings cease. I heard a sermon by Stephen Furtick one time. He said that sheep don't strive. They trust the arms of their shepherd. So many of us right now are strivers. You're up late at night worrying. You're stressed out. You're working way too hard because the whole idea is that it's all on you. And if I don't do X, then my life is going to fall apart. You need to relax. You need to stop striving and trust in the Almighty. I'll explain it like this. Let's say there's a door. Let's say there's a door right here. There's a door. And that door represents faith in Christ. The door represents faith in Christ. As you're walking up to that door, and if you're a Christian, you've been through this, you know that it's a decision you have to make. And it's something that you have to decide. You have to ask Jesus into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. As you're walking up to that door, you see on the door written Matthew 10:32, which says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Meaning you've got to do it. You've got to make that commitment. You can't be passive. You have to make a decision. But when you pass through that door, and if you give your life to Jesus, and you turn around, and you look at the other side of that door, it says John 15:16. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Or it says John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him to himself. But which is it? Is it on us to make a decision, or is it fully on God to draw us to himself? It's both and. It's both and. We want to go either or, but it's both and. There's this theologian by the name of J.I. Packer, and he talks about how light is like this. Now, this is a nerdy analogy. It's about to get really nerdy. Okay, I got to know, are there any nerds in the house? We got a few nerds. Okay, we got how many? We got three nerds? Let's clap for the nerds. We're proud of the nerds. Fellow nerds, you nerds will understand this. Everyone else is just going to stare at me. Okay, so please get excited, or at least be like, that was a good, nerdy analogy. J.I. Packer says the whole free will thing and God being in control is like light. You see, light sometimes behaves as if it's made of particles, meaning as if it's made of matter. Sometimes it acts like that. But sometimes light behaves as if it's made of waves. But that can't be. It can't be either or. It's either one or the other. We don't understand it. He calls it an antinomy, which is an apparent contradiction. It's not a real contradiction. It's an apparent one. And it's the same way with our free will and God being sovereign. It's not either or. It's both and. Just because we don't understand it means we should reject it and deny it. We use light every day. We don't know how it works, but we know enough to apply it and to use it. We don't know everything about this light that's all around us 24/7, but we know enough to apply it. Light is a very good illustration. This is Keller one more time. Let's wrap him up because it makes my brain hurt. He says, on the one hand, God is setting and fixing absolutely everything how he wants it to be. But he doesn't do that despite our choices. He does that through them. Our choices are part of his plan. And so you say, oh, so he knows what we're going to choose. There you go. Trying to do that either or thing again. No, no, no. It's both and. We are neither passive nor paralyzed. And you may say, passive, paralyzed? I'm in control of the future. Everybody says so. The movies say so. Back to the Future says so. Every movie I watch that has to do with time travel says so. But the reality is this. We will never have a tenth of a millionth of the wisdom to know how our actions affect others and how they ripple through eternity. There's a short story called The Sound of Thunder. The Sound of Thunder. And it's about an illegal time machine. And for a hefty fee, this guy by the name of Travis will take you back in time, okay, in this time machine. I know it's really nerdy. I'm sorry. Just go with me on this. So he'll take you back in time. And you've heard this story a million times, but you've never actually heard it said like this. He'll take you back in time, and there's this anti-gravity platform that he'll take you to. And you can walk across it, but he warns you, don't step off it. Do not step off it because your actions may affect the present in ways which we don't understand. So this guy named Eccles comes to Travis and says, I want to go back in time. And Travis says, okay, I'll take you back in time, but don't step off the path. He says, why? He said, well, let's say you step on a mouse. Let's say you step just one little tiny mouse. And Eccles says, well, who cares? And Travis says this. He says, well, what about the foxes that'll need those mice to survive? For want of 10 mice, a fox dies. For want of 10, foxes, a lion starves. Eventually, it boils down to this. One of our ancestors goes hunting for food. But you, friend, have stepped on it. So the man starves. And from his loins would have sprung 10 sons. From their loins, 100 sons, and thus onward to a civilization. You destroy one man, and you destroy a race, a people, an entire history of life. With the death of one man, a billion others yet unborn are throttled in the womb. Perhaps Rome never rises on its 7 hills. Step on a mouse and you crush the pyramids. Step on a mouse and you leave your print like a Grand Canyon across eternity. Washington might not cross the Delaware. There may never be a United States at all. So stay on the path, he says. Well, if you know the story, he steps off the path and he steps on a butterfly and it changes everything. It changes everything. We will never have the wisdom, and we should not pretend to understand how our actions today affect the future. There's so much peace in knowing it's not on us to provide that path. God does it for us. My wife and I were in Shenandoah National Park on Skyline Drive a few weeks ago driving, and we're driving, and it was a beautiful day, and a little chipmunk jumped out. That's what chipmunks do. It jumped out in the road, and I couldn't swerve. We're on a mountain, and I hit the chipmunk. Don't look at me like I'm a murderer. I'm sorry. I didn't know what else to do. But I hit the chipmunk, and I was thinking of this story, and I said, my God, what have I done? Well, have I changed the future? I don't know. But the good thing is, we don't have to worry about that. It's not on me to decide. Somebody's going to call PETA. Someone in the back is taking a picture of me and is like, he killed a chipmunk on purpose. The guy with the dumb phone is calling PETA, apparently. Please, sir. I didn't mean it. I promise. But guys, when we see God in terms of creation and in terms of God's sovereignty, we constantly see him as three different roles. We constantly see him depicted as architect. If you know an architect, you know how detail-oriented they are, how they lay out the foundations, how everything fits in according to the plan. We see him as a weaver, looking at the tiniest details and knitting everything together so it fits out just fine. If you know anything about weaving, if one little thread is off, the whole thing unravels. The whole thing is messed up. And finally, we see him as an author. Scripture says he is the author and finisher of our faith. And so many of us in this room think we are the authors and finishers of our faith. But you can thank God that it's not on you to write your story. God puts the right characters in at the right time. He brings the right tensions in at the right time. It's all in his sovereign hand. He's the only one with the perspective to do so. So please, trust him. Let him be the architect. Let him be the weaver. Let him be the author and finisher, or the perfecter of your faith. So let's get practical. What does this mean for me, you're probably asking? It's a bunch of philosophy and blah, 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 theology. What does this mean for me? Well, I have two things for you to take home. The first one is look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. There's so many people who believe the love of God is just an abstract force. If you were walking down the street and you said, do you believe God loves you? Most people would say, yeah, I believe he loves me. Of course, he loves everybody. He just is a loving God. But it's not changing their lives. The love of God is not an abstract force. The love of God is a person. The love of God has a heartbeat. The love of God has a name. His name is Jesus Christ. And he is the love of God. And he's someone you can have a relationship with. And when we talk of God's love, there's one verse in the scripture which always sticks out at me. It's very confusing. I will read it and try to summarize it for you. This is Deuteronomy 7, verse 7 through 8. The Lord did not set his love on Israel, nor choose Israel, because you were more in number than any of the peoples, but actually you were the least in number of all the peoples. But because the Lord loved you, the Lord brought you out of Egypt with a mighty hand. I don't know if you caught that, but God's describing why he loves us. And he says, I didn't love you because you were the greatest of all peoples. You were actually the least of all peoples. But because I loved you, did I do X, Y, and Z. It's a circular argument. God is saying, I love you just because I love you. Just because I love you. And there's so much peace in that. If God said, I loved you because you were more spiritual than other people, because you had your stuff together more than other people, because you gave more money than other people, that would be the basis of your life. And if that was eroded for some reason, your whole life would collapse. Imagine your spouse comes to you. Imagine your spouse comes to you and says, honey, do you love me? And you say, yeah, baby, you know I do. And then your spouse says, why? Well, you could say, you're just so much better looking than all the other girls. Or in college, you were just the smartest. You were the smartest. Or you could say your career has a lot of potential. That's not how you can answer. Because if you answer like that, her or his whole worth will shift to that. And if that's ever threatened, their whole identity is threatened. Their whole identity is threatened. That's why when someone asks you, why do you love me? You love them just because you love them. Just because you love them. That is not just a cute little thing to say. That is the only way for love to be based. Because if it's based on factors and those factors erode, where do you find yourself? The other day I was putting on my shirt. I was getting dressed and I noticed some padding like right here. Some fluff, if you will. And I said, honey, I got some padding right here. What's going on? And she said, honey, you look great. I love you. See, my wife's love for me is not based on me not having fluff, which is a good thing, honey. It's probably just going to keep getting worse. She loves me just because she loves me. I'm sorry, but it's true. The first point is look to Jesus. The second thing to make this practical is look to the cross. Look to the cross. In John 10, 27 through 28, it says this. It says, my sheep hear my voice. And Jesus says, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Do you know what was happening to Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross? Here's what was happening. All the greatest forces of the universe were arrayed against Jesus. And he could have stopped them. He could have stopped the death. He could have stopped the pain. He could have stopped the torture. He could have stopped the rejection. He could have stopped the rejection of his Father. He could have stopped eternal justice coming down on his head. All he had to do was walk away. All he had to do was leave us. All he had to do was drop us. Charles Spurgeon, I think it was, said Jesus Christ was on the cross, nailed, bleeding, dying, looking down at the people, betraying him and forsaking him and denying him. And in the greatest act of love in the history of the universe, he stayed. Bomb after bomb after bomb was going off on Jesus' head, trying to get him to drop us, to separate him from us, to separate his love from us. And not even hell itself could do it. He held on to us. He died for us. He was our Savior. And we're out there thinking, Well, if I have a bad week, he's probably going to betray me. He's probably going to turn his back on me. You know why he'll never betray you? Because he had every opportunity. If he wasn't going to turn his back on you then, he's not going to turn his back on you now. He held on to you with hell itself coming down upon him. And there's nothing. No angel, no demon, no thing present, no thing to come. Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, let me ask you, is that something you know? Do you believe that? Have you taken that to heart? No, this is the love you've been looking for your entire life. No relational love, no parental love, no familial love, no critical acclaim. Nothing can compare to the love in Christ that God gives us. Are you certain he's in control? Are you certain he loves us? You can be. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this assurance. God, we thank you for this hope. God, we thank you for the peace that this brings. God, I ask you that everyone here, everyone in the sound of my voice, God, can feel your love right now. God, if people have not given their hearts to you, I ask you that they surrender them right here and now to you. Father God, I thank you for your will. I thank you, God, that you are sovereign. And I thank you, God, that I do not have to be the architect or the weaver or the author of my own life. God, we thank you for your love. God, God, help us stop striving. Help us stop holding on so tightly to things and just release. Just let it all go to you. We love you. We ask all these things in your Son's sweet name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.